right, Alexander, let's talk about another article from George Soros, where he's weighing in once again with regards to Hungary and Poland. And he's weighing in on the fact that the EU has managed to come to a compromise with Hungary and with Poland regarding the 7-year budget and the veto that Poland and Hungary were putting up. And George Soros is not happy about the outcome. And let me read you the title from his from the article that he penned personally, if you believe that. Project Syndicate is running it. And the title says, "The Costs of Merkel's Surrender to Hungarian and Polish Extortion." The byline reads, "German Chancellor Angela Merkel has been laboring under enormous pressure to prevent a veto of the European Union's 2021-2027 budget," and the thing, people can read on the screen what the thing is, the thing, recovery fund. "But the compromise she reached with Hungary and Poland is the worst of all possible worlds." Alexander, George Soros is not letting up. It's obvious that Angela Merkel is laboring under George Soros. I wouldn't say under the European Union. She's laboring under the approval of George Soros. But Soros is not giving up at all costs to what I think to institute some sort of permanent change in Hungary and Poland. So I think whatever deal was struck, George Soros is going to continue to go on the attack.
Yeah, I agree, because I have to say he sees this agreement in a radically different way from the way that I saw the agreement when I first learned about it. Now, can I just explain what's happened to our viewers very briefly? So the EU proposes its budget, its long-term budget, up to 2027. This includes this relief program, which we've discussed on previous programs, the so-called Hamilton moment program, which we said wasn't a Hamilton moment program at all, but really a kind of glorified slush fund. And then at the last moment, apparently someone in the Commission, but it seems they were put up to do it by Germany and the Netherlands, inserted into the budget a provision that budget funds would only be allocated to states which abided by rule of law. And this is all very left, very, very vague, but it was seen by some countries as an obvious device to interfere in their internal affairs. And the two countries in particular, Poland and Hungary, led by Viktor Orban in Hungary, who's the Prime Minister of Hungary, and the de facto leader of Poland, who is Deputy Prime Minister Jaroslaw Kaczynski. The president is actually Andrzej Duda, but in fact it is widely known that it is Mr. Kaczynski who is the real power in Poland. They both were extremely unhappy about this, and they vetoed the whole budget and said they would go on vetoing the whole budget until and unless this so-called rule of law provision was removed. And we've discussed in previous programs how this is an entirely appropriate concern, and that how that rule of law provision seems to be intended to justify cutting off funds, EU funds, to Hungary and Poland in future, destabilizing the internal situation in those two countries, and ultimately affecting a change of government there, as the EU has affected changes of government in other countries like Greece and Italy. And this created an impasse. There were intense negotiations. The EU was floating possibilities of circumventing Hungary and Poland's veto. It seems, and you know, I haven't heard this confirmed anywhere else, but Soros says this in this article, and I think Soros is very well informed, that apparently Orban told Merkel that if the Hungarian and Polish vetoes were circumvented in that way, Hungary would invoke Article 50 and would start taking steps to leave the European Union. So anyway, if that apparently was enough, there were then negotiations, And the negotiations came up with a statement which is made by the European Commission and which will be attached to the budget, which says that this rule of law provision in the budget will not be interpreted in the way that Poland and Hungary feel, and that this is going to be entirely up to the European Council, and ultimately Poland and Hungary have a right of complaint to the European Court of Justice. And in addition, it seems, according to this statement, that many of these provisions of this rule of law thing, it won't really come into effect until 2022, which will be after elections have taken place in Hungary. Now, I have to say, I was very sceptical of this statement, because the rule of law provision stays as it is in the budget, unaltered. And the budget is binding. It's European Union law. This statement, it seems to me, is just a statement. It is not binding under EU law. So it seems to me that the European Commission can at any point in time simply ignore the statement and proceed to enforce the rule of law provision as and how it pleases. Now, it may be that there is more to this than I know. Obviously, Soros is extremely well informed about this whole situation, much better informed than I am, and he interprets this very, very differently as this statement, this non-binding statement, in effect, cancelling the effect of the rule of law provision. And that has made him extremely angry. In fact, he is furious, and he has penned this very, very angry article in response. Now, whether he is right that he does cancel this rule of law provision, this statement really does cancel this rule of law provision, or whether what he's really trying to do is strong arm European governments and the European Commission to apply more aggressively and to try and target Hungary. And it's quite clear, by the way, that it's Hungary that he has particular sights on, especially Viktor Orban. Well, we'll just have to wait and see. I think it's possible that he's understood this more correctly than I have, especially if it is true, and as I said, he's well informed, that Orban did threaten that he would invoke Article 50 and take the first steps to remove Hungary from the European Union if the veto was overridden and this thing was enforced in the way that the European Commission wanted. So it may be that the Poles and the Hungarians went for the nuclear option, or at least the Hungarians did, and that this may have led to this compromise, and that there is more to this compromise than appears on the surface. But I do wonder, actually, because in my experience, it's difficult enough to get the Europeans to abide by their own rules and laws if they make a statement which, you know, has no legal weight at all, then I would have thought they would pay no attention to it when it suited them. But we will see.
The letter that Soros has posted, that Soros penned, is not so much addressed to the European Union. It's actually, I would say, it's more addressed to Angela Merkel herself. So, I mean, the way I read it is that this is Soros pretty much telling Angela Merkel that you're going to put, okay, Poland in line, fine, but I agree it's more directed towards Hungary and Orban. You are going to put Hungary and Orban in line, and eventually you're going to do everything in your power to remove Orban. I mean, that's the way I read the whole thing. Yeah, okay, he gets technical. He talks about the procedure. He talks about everything that took place. But I mean, the whole letter is, to me, it's specifically addressed to Angela Merkel. In other words, you know, to say it very simply, you did a bad job, Angela Merkel. You better straighten up, and you better deal with Hungary, and you better deal with Orban, or else.
Well, that's exactly how it reads, because it is indeed addressed to Angela Merkel, and it criticizes Merkel. I mean, it's clear to me that Soros really, really loathes Orban. He makes some extraordinary claims about Orban. I mean, he calls him a kleptocrat, alleges that the whole Hungarian political system is based on corruption. I mean, these are extreme claims. And frankly, claims I neither believe nor see reproduced anywhere else. I mean, you know, I read, for example, the Financial Times and the Guardian, which are very, very critical of Orban. They've never claimed that he's corrupt in anything like the kind of way that Soros is saying. And I would add, by the way, that the previous government, the government that immediately preceded Orban's government, which was a socialist government, its prime minister openly admitted that it had been lying to the Hungarian people and was notorious for its corruption. And as I remember, Soros had no problems with it. So, you know, I mean, I find all that extraordinary, all that language he uses about Orban, extraordinary. But it does show how much he loathes Orban and how determined he is to see Orban out of the way. And I think he is very, very angry with Merkel, because he wanted Merkel basically to take action to overthrow Orban this year. And he's extremely angry that she's not taken it. And of course, Merkel herself is due to step down in September 2021. So the time window for her to do it is closing. So, you know, all sorts of reasons why Soros is extremely angry with Merkel. And it could very well be, as you rightly say, that what he's basically saying to Merkel and to her likely successor, whoever that is in Germany, that in future, no more backsliding. You're going to go after Orban, regardless of whatever other, you know, collateral damage there might be. And I think, in truth, that Soros would rather see Hungary outside the European Union than he would inside it, because he doesn't want someone like Orban, a sovereigntist, in the European Union at all. I don't think, by the way, I don't mean by that he wants Hungary to leave. What he wants to see is Orban to leave. But if he can't overthrow Orban, I think he will push eventually for Hungary to be expelled or removed in some way from the European Union entirely, because he sees it as, you know, the grit that is slowing the integrationist machine in Europe. Well, we'll see whether he gets what he wants. He's a powerful man. He's got many friends. But presumably, it is the European governments that will ultimately make the decision. And I know for a fact that Orban actually has a lot of support amongst them, more support than some of them are brave enough to express in public.
Yeah, finally, Alexander, if you were going to say that for George Soros, the United States bringing the U.S. into his globalist, neoliberal nightmare world order is his masterpiece, you could make the argument that Hungary, for George Soros, bringing Hungary into this globalist neoliberal world order is a very personal project for him.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I mean, he is Hungarian. I mean, he was born in Hungary, and I mean, he's had this. He's of Hungarian extraction. So obviously, he's got a particular interest in Hungary, and he has never forgiven Orban for taking action against, you know, the open society university or whatever it's called in Hungary itself. And so he's got all of those issues. I mean, I presume that Soros at least may speak Hungarian, or at least have some understanding of the language. So this is to some extent also a family quarrel, if you like, or at least not a family quarrel. It's a quarrel between two Hungarians. So he's got that. But I think overriding all of this is the language, the political language Orban uses, which is a sovereigntist one. I mean, he spoke about, we discussed an article that Orban published recently in which Orban talks about the Europe of sovereign states, not as sort of, you know, super state. He emphasizes the Christian civilization of Europe. These are things that for Soros are absolutely outrageous. I mean, they profoundly offend his entire outlook and his entire agenda, which, as you rightly say, is a globalist one.
Yeah, Soros is picking off countries one by one. Yeah. He is picking off countries and world leaders one by one. That is just the reality of it. And Orban needs to, God help him. He needs to prepare. The people of Hungary need to prepare. I think that Soros is, it's personal for him. He is going to go at them full speed ahead.
Absolutely. I must say, if it is true, and as I said, Soros is well informed, that Orban told Angela Merkel that, you know, if you press on with this and you really do try and override our veto, our Polish and Hungarian vetoes, I will invoke Article 50. That shows that he is up for a fight. I mean, Merkel would have been shocked by that, assuming, of course, that she took the threat seriously, which perhaps she did. But I mean, if Orban is prepared to go that far and give up EU funding, then that gives you some idea of the fact that he at least is fully ready for whatever battle is being prepared against him. Poland, I must say, is different. I would have thought that any Polish government, even a Law and Justice Party, Polish government, a Kaczynski government, would find it politically impossible to invoke Article 50. I mean, Poland is deeply divided. There is a strong pro-EU sentiment in Poland. I think there are some people in Poland who would support invoking Article 50, but I think most Poles at the moment are just not ready for that at all. So I don't think that's going to happen in Poland. But Hungary is a different story. Orban is strong and popular there. He might be able to do it and make it stick. And Hungary being relatively small, he's also got good economic contacts with other countries around the world, so he could probably endure it and survive.
All right, we will continue to monitor this. Hungary, stay strong. Hungary, stay strong. All right, Alexander Berkers, thank you very much. PayPal, Patreon, Subscribestar, Bitcoin, you will find those links down below. Your donation really helps out this channel. BitChute, Odyssey, what else? Rumble. Please go to those platforms as well and see our videos there. Subscribe to us on those platforms. You'll find those links down below as well. And please check your subscription with YouTube, because yesterday alone, I believe YouTube unsubscribed around 85 people, just boom, in like a minute. So YouTube is really is playing games with us. But anyway, go to the Durant Shop as well and pick up some merchandise. Your merchandise really helps.
Absolutely. And you can see the amazing merchandise we have, our mugs, our famous magic mugs, this one with the flag of the United States. But we have mugs with the flags of many countries. And also we've got hoodies and amazing shirts and sweatshirts and hats, like, you know, this one with the tricolor of France. You can see it there with the Durand double-headed eagle. So come to our shop. Buy our wonderful products that are there, read the ebooks that are there, support us on our other platforms, come to us on PayPal and Subscribestar, join us on our Discord server, and welcome to our next program.
All right, Alexander Merkers, thank you very much. Take care, everybody.